Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Throw In Hurling Show. And the band is back together this week. Delighted to be joined by Eddie Brennan and John Milan. Not only is the band back, but Eddie, Kilkenny are back.
I wouldn't be getting that excited about yet now, Mixer. But Jesus, yeah, sure, look, we'll take it. We'll take it. I think after 5 minutes, I was reaching for a pillow going, oh, no. You were kind of going, oh, Jesus, with, you know, a very simple turnover. And then Gillan with an absolutely beautiful finish. Like, he used Paddy Deegan to screen Murphy so well and just passed it into the bottom corner. And at that point, you're going, oh, no. And in fairness, look, if Kilkenny needed a trigger, they probably got it a couple of minutes there. But to be able to respond with a goal so quickly, but... look, there's a lot of context in it. I don't think you'd be you wouldn't be leaping around doing somersaults. There won't be lads doing a Super Monday anyway on the back of it. So I think it's just more a little bit of a psychological win for this Kilkenny group. I think, you know, regardless of you know, we'll examine it obviously, and there's a hell of a lot of things going on. So from Derek Ling's point of view, I think you'd take that, you'd say, look, they were heading down the road waiting for an absolute battle, and you know, they were able to dominate them and win many facets of play, and you just go, it was just so Limerick like. So like I said, it's a psychological win more than anything else. I think you won't be getting carried away with it, because Limerick were definitely nowhere near their best. But yeah, sure, look, it's progress. It just, for the group, it gives them a little bit of confidence going into a championship now. That's all you need. Just another little bit of adrenaline that can keep you going and keep you driving.
Just on that, Eddie, it was like, for a lot of those young fellas, even likes of Jordan Malai, who's played very little county level hurling, like, I'd imagine it's a nice little thing to have in the back of your head now that, fair enough, like, as somebody said to me yesterday, if, you know, if Limerick were a racehorse, they would have been deemed a non-trier on Saturday. It was mad kind of to look at. But from a Kilkenny point of view, they did what they had to do. And as you say there, just that little psychological win. It was probably the sort of win maybe that a lot of these, particularly the younger fellas within Derek Ling's squad, probably needed, Eddie, realistically.
Had to do, like, and a guy there that I thought has had a nice steady league and hasn't folded and under pressure, hasn't had to be whipped and has done well, like, is Shane Murphy. And I suppose the evidence of that is that he's a guy that has been playing wing back and, you know, hurled really well against Cork that night. They started him cornerback, you know, Saturday evening, and his job was obviously to go and follow, you know, follow out the field or whatever. And you found him then later in the match up creating a goal chance towards the end of the game. So, and that's the way the hurling game has gone, and he has that ability because he has played a lot of hurling all over the middle of the field mainly. But, you know, Jordan Malai, and I was so impressed with his interview after the match. I couldn't, you know, the points he was making, how well he spoke. And that's, as you said there, that's good for him. If you're landing in there the last couple of years looking at that team, you suddenly find yourself in it and you can turn around then and, you know, account for yourself very well, you know, against that Limerick midfield. You know, you were going in there against Keane Lynch and Willie Donoghue, like, so that's endorsement for you. If you're looking for little encouragement for yourself, you know, that's what it is. But like I said, it's a step forward. It's a good step forward. And you know, you obviously know that there's a lot more to go. But just a quick mention too, I think John Donnelly has been really, really good for Kilkenny. I know he hasn't seen a massive amount of action with his club, but I just thought his work rate, he just really puts himself into the thick of things. And he's probably one of the key men for Kilkenny in that his work rate. And then obviously when you do what Kilkenny done, and how Limerick let it happen, because I haven't seen that happen with this Limerick team in 6-7 years of hurling, where on three occasions they found themselves with a one-on-one with nothing home, only 45 yards of grass in front of them, which is so unusual. And I think that, the young lad, we were watching the match at home, and the young lad said to me, as soon as the ball left Paddy Deegan's hurt, he's like, oh, this is a goal. Because you could see TJ got, he got Aaron Costello on his left-hand side. And I've just seen TJ Reid do that so many times, where he just floats and uses his strength and just catches the ball. And look, it was a good finish.
John, we'll get to Limerick in a minute, because it's a hell of a lot to analyse from a Limerick point of view. But just to piggyback on Eddie's point there, what did Kilkenny get right? It's not as if this was the perfect Kilkenny performance, far from it. But they did get a lot of things right. Any particular areas that you thought that they nailed last Saturday?
It's really, really hard to judge, Saturday night's game, because I think the lads described it well last night. There was a bit of a phony war, about this game. But to be fair to Kilkenny, I think Eddie's right 100%. Look, Kilkenny could only do what Kilkenny do. They'd come down, give a performance. What they done was the kind of, where we've seen time and time again where Limerick have gone and bossed teams in that middle third. That was the opposite Saturday night. Kilkenny kind of just took over that middle third. The lads highlighted last night on League Sunday, they tracked the runners. They brought an enormous amount of energy. They were ravenous for work, and they brought it. They brought it Saturday night, and on top of that, they looked hungry for goals. And we've seen time and time again, if you're going to beat Limerick, you're going to have to raise green flags. And Kilkenny raised three green flags Saturday night, and the most promising thing for Derek Ling and his team going forward is that, they could have had 5-6 goals. They had the opportunities to raise more green flags. But look, will those opportunities present themselves again when both these sides possibly could meet again? I doubt very much so.
Mull, could you believe what you were looking at on Saturday? Because I know you can say it's a phony war, but this is not generally something that Limerick do. There's a real Cody mentality to what Kiley does, as in they go for every game. They don't really, the handbrake is not on usually during any game. It was more the mistakes, the unforced errors, the handling errors that were so uncharacteristic of them.
Verily, don't be fooled into thinking that, Limerick, wouldn't put the handbrake on. I'm trying to break down John Kiley's interview in the aftermath of the match. And what was very interesting was the words free pass. Would you have ever seen Brian Cody come out in the past, or Jim Gavin saying, we gave the lads a free pass today? Most certainly not. For me, they look very, very leggy. I'll judge Limerick on the second half performance against Galway. I'll judge Limerick on their performance against Tipperary. I won't get sucked into believing that, oh, Jesus, there's problems in the Limerick setup. Limerick have regressed. I think we've made that mistake in the past, and, they've come and given the answer, come championship. I think, if you want my own honest opinion, I would think that John Kiley and Paul Kinnock would have sized up, what potentially could have played out in the next couple of weeks. What potentially could have played out was that, they were going to be playing either Clare or Tipperary in a league final. A Clare team and Tipperary team that would probably go then and throw the kitchen sink at them in a league final. Then 2 weeks later, they have to go out and play Clare. 3 weeks later, they have to go out and play Tipperary. I think he wanted to avoid that. I think the whole Kyle Hayes situation probably would have come into play as well, where they probably would have said themselves, right, we'd rather be out of the league. We'll let things dilute now. We'll go underground for the next 4 weeks, and we'll come with a bang in Ennis. And I just got that sense. And I don't know if you ever come across it, Eddie. Now, I don't for one minute think that John Kiley and Paul Kinnock set out to and said to the team, lads, we're not going to bother winning it. But I've seen time and time again, even in my own county, I take it back to 2006, we won our first two league games and Justin decided to bring us up to the Curragh. And we were after getting off the great start of the league, decided to bring us up to the Curragh. And I'll never forget that weekend, lads. Like, Jesus. The highlight of the weekend for me was cooking a fish on a campfire on a Saturday night. I came home, blisters on my feet. Came home at 4:30 that Sunday. And ourselves said to me, will I call in today? I said, no, you won't. I said, I'm going to bed. I went, nearly slept for 2 days. We're playing Clare the following week. And we physically couldn't move against Clare. And our league just petered out. But Justin never said to us, you know what, we're not going to go out the following week. We're still going to go out and try and beat Clare. But we were never going to beat Clare. You know where I'm coming from, Eddie?
I'm not saying it. Yeah.
I don't know if you've experienced it as well. And I just get that sense that there was a bit of that Saturday night. Like, I was watching some of those Limerick players and they looked very, very leggy. And I even look at, you know, the body language of Galan coming off. He said they're scoring 1-3 and he's giving a high five to Flanagan coming on. Like, I don't think Hannon, Lynch, they didn't look too bothered. They didn't look too upset getting taken off. And, you know, if the factor in as well who they were missing, there was no Dan Morrissey fullback. There was no Kyle Hayes. There was no Mike Casey. There was no Darragh Donovan. Flanagan didn't start. So I think the main focus for Limerick this year is trying to achieve two things that have never been done before. That's the Munster 6 in a row and the All-Ireland 5 in a row. And I just feel that they've sized up the whole thing. I'm just trying to read between the lines here and that they're saying, right, because this game on the 21st of April is a massive, massive game, because you have to think, if Limerick don't want to find themselves in the situation that they found themselves in last year, where, you know, they only barely got over the line against Waterford. Their scoring average was straight away off. They got beaten by Clare, so they're on the back foot straight away. And I think Kiley is saying to himself, right, our first two games are big games. If we beat Clare, we've Tipperary the following week. If we win those two games, then we can, you know, recharge the batteries, reset again, and go again. And I think everything is focused on the Munster Championship. They realise that they don't want to find themselves in the same position that they found themselves in last year. Hence why I'm thinking that there was a touch of a handbrake job involved on Saturday night.
Yeah, two images, Eddie, popping into my head really quickly. One is Mystic Milan with the globe beside him looking into John Kiley's mind. And the other is Master Chef Milan with the big white chef's hat on cooking the fish up in the Curragh.
But genuinely, that Curragh trip, I'll never forget it, lads. Oh, Christ, Jesus Christ. I'll never forget the Sunday evening. And poor Dennis Coffey. Dennis Coffey used to mark Dennis Coffey in a training. We used to give each other an awful time. But I remember him pulling a log and my legs were just gone. And he's saying, come on, Mull, come on. Keep going. I was saying, Dennis, I can't go any fucking more. Like, you know what I mean? And I remember even the Saturday morning. I didn't know what was coming on the Saturday morning. It was about -10 outside and we're in these kind of lodges. And about 4:30 in the morning, this lad starts coming in, blowing a whistle. Get up. And I couldn't get up out of bed. And there was Tom Feeney. He said, Mull, just get the fuck up now. Get up. I said, I can't, Tom. I can't. Get up. We're going to get punished. But, you know, we had to go through that. And then the following week, then we were going out and playing Clare. And that was off the back of winning two league games. Did you ever come across it? Did Cody ever do anything like that with you, Eddie? You know, in regards to training load or your training block, knowing that you had a league game coming up and that you trained hard that week, knowing that you still had to play a league semi-final or a league quarter-final?
No, we used to always train hard the whole time. No, we didn't, John. To be honest, we never really done much of that stuff. We never went for any of that, sure. You know, it was just, you were in a block of heavy training, and I remember often saying, it's like, just get on with it. It was just more, as you touched on it there, I think it's psychological warfare from the management point of view, just to see they're testing your mettle the whole time, they're constantly watching. But just to jump in on that one quickly, like, I suppose I'm the same. I just, after even 15, 20 minutes of the match, even it got to half time, I was looking at it. I was like, 1-6 in 35 minutes of hurling. Like I said, where was the last time Limerick done this? You know, the periods of not scoring, you know, it's so unlike him. And I just was kind of going, right, so you can say something without ever saying anything. So in some ways, like John said there, did the boys sit and look at this? And I kind of went, yeah, do you know what? The logic in it, right? And at the end of the year, lads, when Lee McCarthy is presented, will Limerick or anyone in Limerick have any qualms whatsoever about what went on last weekend if they have a Munster or if they don't even have a Munster? If they have Lee McCarthy, that's it. That's the only show in town for them. So Kiely can't turn around and say that to his players, and no manager ever would. But you can maybe in some ways say, do you know what, we'll use this maybe, and I'm trying to make sense of myself just to say, I'm not saying this is, do you know what, we'll leave this go now. There was off-the-field stuff that had to have been consuming everyone's thinking this week. Families and friends, yeah, you know, people are kind of wondering what is going to happen here. Then you get to Saturday evening below in Parky Queeve, and he might have just said, do you know what, we'll just leave it go now and see how the players kind of work this match through. And then whatever happens, happens. And now you have a little stick to beat him with. Now you have a little refocus. The one thing that would concern me, though, and John touched on it there, was, and again, we don't know what the load of training is with them at the moment. They have 4 weeks to get it right for over 6 or 7 days. But they did, what concerned me was their lack of energy. They just weren't themselves at all. Like even Gillan, like you go, little habits have to be perfect. Like missing 3 frees was a 4 frees during the match. Just was so uncharacteristic of them and lacking energy. And that's one thing now is going to be needed when they, you know, they are in, this is going to be the year of years for them. It's going to be tougher than anything that has gone before, because every single team now wants to be the ones to take them down. That is the position they find themselves in. So the reality is there's no way in hell they needed to be facing into either Clare or Tip in a league final knowing what's coming 3 weeks later. And look, I'm not saying they've done it deliberately or anything like that, but they can get a win out of it. They can just go with it and turn around and say to the players, right, lads, what went wrong? You know, is this really our standard? And that's kind of manipulating the situation, but isn't that what management is at times? They want to then reinforce their values, refocus, recalibrate. But the only thing I learned from it too, though, and coming out of the league, is they have a core of 15 to 16, 17 players that are their starters. Outside of that, a lot of these guys that they've tried, and there's some really talented guys coming through, they aren't good enough to get the job done for them. I think myself, the Cathal O'Neill experiment is finished. I don't see that happening again. I think if Limerick are facing into this championship, what do they need to do? Build a solid defensive unit. Let's go back to basics here. Let's get Willie D and Darragh Donovan back into their positions. Let's mind the house. Let's set up that we don't get pulled apart like that. Like, that's the one stick he would beat them with last weekend, is how the hell did we get breached and isolated for 3 goals and at least 3 more opportunities? That's the bread and butter for this Limerick team, because they'll score then up the other ends. But that is their bread and butter. And I think that will be the big focus. And you'll see the usual, they have a team of starters, they have a 5 or 6 finishers. I think they will go back to that.
Yeah, but Eddie, like, Knorrick is always thinking outside the box. So I wouldn't, you have to look at Cathal O'Neill. He was playing on the side of the wing where Kyle Hayes effectively plays. So, you know what I mean? Knorrick is always thinking outside the box. So you couldn't be ruling out where they might rotate, where Kyle Hayes could go up wing forward and Cathal O'Neill could go back wing back, and, you know, could just throw a spanner in the works. And I disagree with you. I think this Limerick team, they like chasing records, and I think they'll be gung-ho to try and do that 6 in a row in Munster that was never done before. Yeah. You know.
Oh no, I'm not saying they won't. I think that the best route for them is straight to the cleanest route possible. And you're right. They need to come out of those first two matches with at least 3 points in the bag. They're then creating a level of control over their own destiny. I think wouldn't they ideally love to go 3 for 3, and then they can kind of give lads a bit of game time in the last one or whatever. Like, they've done that a few years ago. Was it down against Clare? They drew with them. They were qualified for the Munster final that day. They were, you know, that's the ideal scenario, because what they don't want to do is get that last match in Munster, and it possibly will. but that every match then, they don't want to be chasing, they don't want to have a big mountain to climb early.
It's gas how the narrative changes. 12 months ago, after they beat Kilkenny by 11 in the league, they were unbeatable going into Munster, and they had a fair bit of turbulence, particularly early doors in Munster. Now this year, I'm not saying there's any doubts, but there's a couple of questions. Like, I was looking at Sean Finn last Saturday, and I just didn't think he was right. I didn't think he was moving like he should be. But then to piggyback on Mull's point, like, if they really wanted to win the game, would Hegarty, Hannon, Lynch, and Gillan all have been taken off when the game was in the melting pot? Probably not. But it's all pointed towards the 21st of April. That's going to be an absolute belter of a game. They're obviously going to be playing Clare, who are now in the league final. Clare had a big enough win over Tipperary yesterday. Mull, like, I know you were covering it for the radio. Like, when you think of what they're missing in O'Donnell and Tony Kelly and Ryan Taylor and even David McInerney, like, it looks like Lohan is building something fairly formidable there. Like, a lot of new faces. Like, had we heard much of Conor Neen or Keith Smith or any of these lads before this year's league? And now they're after propelling them all the way to a league final. So that can only be good news for Clare.
No, and you can even touch on Dara Lohan, Keen Galvin. Very, very good. You know, Dalo used to be banging the drum about, look out, watch out for this kid, Keen Galvin. I've seen, right, I'm going to keep an eye on him. But he was very, very good. He's a big prospect for him going forward into the future. And, you know, what Lohan is actually doing, he's, you know, throughout the course of this league, he's nearly kind of building a new team as well, you know, because, you know, and I think that can't go on unnoticed. And not once has he mentioned anything about the players he's missing: Tony Kelly, Ryan Taylor, Shane O'Donnell, David McInerney. It's you talk about the embarrassment, the riches that Limerick have, or other counties have. I think, you know, probably Clare and Cork are probably the two counties outside of Limerick that really have a really good panel depth that you can call on. And as I said, I touched on last week with Henry Shefflin that he can go and trust. And I think, you know, Brian Lohan has the full trust in 21, 22 lads that he can call upon. And, you know, you even touched on your man Conor Lean there. Like, he's keeping Paul Flanagan and Rory Hayes out of the side. But they have, they're able to vary their play. Like, they have David Fitzgerald. I mean, that goal that he scored, that was a thing of beauty yesterday. They've Peter Duggan on the other wing. So straight away, if they're under pressure, they can go along to a 6'4" or a 6'5" lad on either wing. And they're able to go short, they're able to go long. The most interesting thing now for me now is does he integrate Tony Kelly, Shane O'Donnell, possibly not Ryan Taylor, David McInerney into the fold for the league final? And I think if he has in mind playing these lads against Limerick, I think they're going to have to see 35, 30, definitely 25 to 35 minutes of hurling. And who knows, he might even start. He might even say to Tony Kelly or Shane O'Donnell, do you feel like up to starting? But I think it's crucial now from a Clare point of view, from a Brian Lohan point of view, that they push on and try and win this league final and get a bit of silverware under our belt. Because, you know, they've lost a couple of months of finals. They've lost a couple of All-Ireland semi-finals. You know, on the flip side of that, Kilkenny will be eager to win a national title. You know, they've lost the last three, two All-Irelands and a National League title. So I think what will also be very interesting, will they move the game to a Saturday evening? I think, remember, we were shouting about it last year that, you know, it would allow the two teams, you know, even to go at it a bit more, knowing that they have an extra 24 hours. And I think the most logical thing would be to have it on a Saturday evening in Turles under lights. But it's set up for a cracking Munster final or a cracking league final. And I don't think Clare can worry about the 21st of April. As I said in the article on Saturday, I think that will take care of itself. I think the main focus for Brian Lohan now is to try and win a, a league final and try and get a bit of silverware under our belt. And I think it would be a great boost. They'd take great confidence going into that Limerick game, knowing that they have a league title secured away.
And I think even for the future, I think for those lads who might not all start in Championship, but they will start in future Championships, I think it would be big for them to get a league title as well. Eddie, what's impressed you most about Clare so far throughout this year's league and even obviously yesterday against Tip?
They're just playing with great confidence. They're smooth. I think, you know, they have a nice mix about how they blend their play. I think they have, I said this before, that there seems to be a good understanding there. Am I right in saying that the Davy Fitzgerald goal was Ivor Quilligan finding him directly off the puck out and he just marauded through? There might have been one pass, but he seems to do that with Davy Fitzgerald regularly over the last couple of seasons. There's at least twice, maybe three times in every match, he's able to ping him with a little strike move, a little wrap around him where he drops into space. But they seem to have the blend right, and what they have is, I think that the bringing Duggan to the half line and placing him there throughout the game, it's bringing physicality, it's bringing a ball winner. He's robust. He loves going into it. So you then have your pacey guys inside, you know, your Means, Galvin even there, really done well yesterday. Like, for such a small guy, and he was the target man, you know, in around the edge of the square, he was able to be a bit of a handful in there. So they have a lot of guys. Smith showed up well yesterday, a couple of good scores early on. So they have a lot of pacey guys. If Shane O'Donnell's come into the mix and TK, I suppose the other side, the flip side for Lowen is, and maybe he just has to reward these guys and say, do you know what, boys, you're after bringing us to a league final, we're going to let you on. But equally, he does need to get real game time into some of the rest of the lads if they are going to be ready for that match. So it's a good position to be in. But what I like about them is their mix on puck outs, their movement is good. I often see that even yesterday now, you know, Tip are still this floaty ball that becomes a 50-50. You know, them ones, Muller, they're rotten. You just don't want them because the back, you're putting up your hand knowing, oh God, this hands are going here now. Like that floaty ball across that allows a back to recover. Whereas the ball that's hitting grass, that's the one you want. And Clare seemed to do that much better yesterday. And I know conditions were crap yesterday, but they seem to be able to just find that nice ball that's flying towards you, that's flying on the grass. You know, and as a corner forward, that's the ball you crave. That's the ones you love. But
what they got an awful lot of joy out of yesterday was their variation of their puck outs as well. Is that where they had the Tipperary defence thinking that Fitzgerald would come over and go alongside Peter Duggan. So they all converged into one area. The Tipperary defenders were thinking then that Quilligan is going to go along. And next thing, he would go on long on one or two occasions. And then on the third or fourth one, then he would ping it down into the wing to either Ian Galvin or Davey Reedy run on. Ian Galvin, lads, I think he's a very, very underrated player. He reminds me so much of O'McGrath when O'McGrath was playing for us. Just a great tryer. And probably never got the credit that he just, well, he would have got the credit off the likes of myself and the players. But, you know, for me, Ian Galvin, anytime he takes to the field, he's always an 8 or 9 out of 10 player. And reminds me so much of our own O'McGrath. But Clare, they are in a really, really good place now. And Jesus, lads, I'll tell you, it's you know, you have to applaud the job that Lowen is doing right now. And, you know, considering as well that he is under a bit of pressure, you know, is this his fifth year, is it? You know, going into his fifth year, and he probably is under a bit of pressure in trying to deliver a bit of silverware. But, you know, you have to applaud the job he's doing right now, like, you know.
Just on that, Mull, is it important for Clare now that they not necessarily exercise a few demons against Kilkenny, but they have a chance to win a league title against a team that they might not meet for the rest of the year and a team that's knocked them out of the last two championships? It would be a nice one to win now.
Yeah, 100%. And look, they've beaten them in Ennis, and like, psychologically, you know, if you were off the back of beating Kilkenny in Ennis, you know, to beat Kilkenny in a league final. I go back even to 2007 when we beat Kilkenny in that super Kilkenny team in 2007. The lift it gave us going into the Munster Championship, and we were able to kick on then and win the Munster Championship. And I think similar will play out if Clare were to get over the line against Kilkenny. And this will be a Kilkenny team that will be, you know, going gung-ho to win this National League final. And it's a great test. It's another great test for Brian Lowen, you know, going into the Limerick game in the 21st. But 100%, if they were to get over the line, it will be a massive psychological boost, and they would gain massive confidence and massive momentum off the back of it.
Eddie, just on tip, of all the counties to have a free take and meltdown, they probably would have been fairly low down the list. It was a funny kind of one yesterday. I think they missed 9 frees overall. Jason Ford was on him, Garrod O'Connor was on him, Willie Connors was taking him. I think Shawnee Ryan came on and hit them as well. Is that just something you kind of write off? Like, I don't think that's something that's going to happen regularly, really, with the quality of free takers that they have.
No, it's a once-off. It's just an extraordinary event, if you like, a one-off. But at the same time, if you're Liam Cahill, I'm looking at that going, I'd be pulling aside. You know, now he has to be very definitive too. Like, whoever it is number one. And Garrod Connor has been hitting them all along, and J.O., they're two good free takers. But I think he has to be very clear with that. There can only be one free taker. End of. That's it. You're the free taker. And unless you turn around or whatever and you decide then mid-match, right, we're changing that, that's grand. But I think, like, and again, I'm not going to be, geez, Muller definitely hit him, and I tried a few times at the club. It's not simple. But if you're a free taker, you have to turn around and say, what the hell, you know, what happened? How did that happen? We have to try to fix that, because that cannot happen in a championship. You have to have your clear free taker. He is the one, end of. And even for him, like, he'd be turning around. I'd imagine he's talking to both Garrod O'Connor and Jason Ford going, right, lads, what the hell happens? You know, is there, you know, if one of them said, oh, well, I wasn't on him, and he, you know, and I wasn't ready for this kind of, I don't know. But that's something that's under your control. That's something that has to be fixed, and absolute clarity on that going into championship. But even on tip, geez, I don't know, lads. And I thought they were tipping along nicely. I said, geez, they're in good fettle now coming into the championship. They look to be moving along. Not to write home about, but still steady. Like, you know, moving along. But I'm looking at them kind of even there Saturday, like, and you don't know what the motivations were either, but they just look like, I think for the last couple of seasons, Tip are playing hurling on other teams' terms. They're not dictating the terms of engagement. And I think, you know, it's almost every team has their own style of hurling, their own brand of hurling. I think they're kind of watching too much nearly what the opposition are doing. And yes, there's a level of being mindful, but they're allowing teams to dictate the terms of engagement or how the game rolls. Whereas, you know, the game that you associate with Tip is, you know, physically commanding, really going at it. And I just thought on Saturday, albeit a league semi-final, now it's rear view mirror stuff for the championship. But they seem to be just that step back off every Clare fella. They were following and chasing the whole time. The few times that they did get into it, like the goal just after half time was brilliant. The ball that was fed into Jake Morris, they're not able to do enough of that. And that's where, you know, they have the skill level. But I suppose the worry is, outside of Jason Ford and one or two, like, who, Jake Morris is a go-to man. Outside of that, lads, you know, you're telling me they're still, Noel McGrath is still going to be their go-to. And he's a savage player. But are they going to be that reliant on him coming back in to gel all that attack together? I mean, that's worrying for Liam Cahill to a point. But I don't know. I think it could go very much either way for Tip. And I'm not seeing the positive signs that I thought were coming along. I thought they were just coming in under the radar, as in coming towards the championship in a very understated way. But I'm not seeing a real pattern in what they're trying to do. And Liam Cahill looks frustrated on the sideline.
Just, I put this to Eddie. It's a kind of a funny one. They've played an extra game, and there's probably a lot of questions hanging over them now. Would you prefer to be in Tipperary's position now, or in Cork's position, where their league is over and they just go off and work together for 5 weeks? You've kind of, they've kind of learned a lot maybe yesterday and found out maybe some of their frailties that they need to plug. So they've maybe more knowledge going into Munster, or would you prefer to be in Cork's position where you don't have a competitive game for 5 weeks?
It's hard to know, because I suppose you do learn a lot, and tip, it's not like you have 2 weeks to rectify that. I think they have a nice little window now to circle the wagons, go off away, as John said, just get off the grid, focus on what you're on. Our 5 weeks they have, go get that right sorted out and just train hard and get ready for it. And you're probably building with a better focus then, really, because you're looking at Limerick, whatever it is, the 28th of April. That's their be all and end all now. That everything they do is geared towards that match, and they know themselves that if they can win that match or get something out of that match, it's potentially going to springboard them forward. You know, last year they had a great start to the championship and then just faded out, and it cost them a place in that Munster final. So, I don't know. Cork, I suppose, look, the league was never historically with Cork. They don't want it. They don't, you know, but would they have liked a competitive match? Who knows? But I don't know. I think Cork have just been able to just go off and do their own thing. They've, like, their league was finished. They knew it was finished. So they were probably able to give the lads an old week off and away you go. But it's hard to know. It's hard to know, Michael, to be honest. We'll know come the end of April, you know, who has managed to prepare better.
Isn't it gas? We're kind of so in the dark in a brilliant kind of a way going into Munster. You really don't know what to read. Like, do you take how much, like, what percent do you take on what you saw in Limerick at the weekend? What do you take on what we saw in Tipperary yesterday? What do you take on what we've seen in Clare so far? Cork as well. Waterford, interesting. Limerick are on a training camp in Portugal this week. Waterford were in Portugal last week. So I don't know if that's, we'll be interested to see what they've learned when we see come Munster time. The last one I put to you about Tip Mull. Eddie kind of mentioned it there. Are there enough kind of killers in their attack at the minute? Or are they more loaded with workers at the minute? You probably need 3 to 4 killers, 2 big maybe worker bees, and even around the middle of the field. Is there enough class, I'll put it to you there at the minute, and I'm not singling anyone out or anything like that, but is there a Lara Corbett there? Is there a Shamie Callan there? Is there an Owen Kelly there? Are there those type of players there, or have they gone for more of their worker bees now?
Hey, there's a Jake Morris there, and he's playing out of his skin. I mean, look at the goal he took yesterday. He's a real, real predator, and I touched on it. His game is elevated onto just a totally different level. And, you know, if they can get enough ball into him, you know, he has goals. I think that was his 5th goal in the league.
Yeah.
You know, and took the goal so well. Jason Ford, he's another killer. You know, I just think he's just had an off day. I think Garrod O'Connor is a big player for him. I think you got to take into consideration that he had a long winter campaign with the Fitzgibbon, and maybe he's probably just kind of going through an all, you know, a little lull moment where he probably needs to kind of take maybe a breather for a week or two and get back going again. I think there's 3 straight away. I think Sean Hayes, lads, he brings energy. He's direct, straight for goal. I think he's really going to put his hand up. Marquio is a killer, lads. He's a killer as well. He was missing yesterday. If they can get anything out of John McGrath, he's another killer. Alan Tynan is a workhorse. The Bonner is probably a workhorse as well. Like, there's names. There's 5 or 6 names I'm after, you know, naming out straight to you. Like, would they be in my top 3 right now? No, they wouldn't. But, like, Catlin Bevins, Tony Brown, they have them now in a nice little place now where they will stick to beat them with. And, you know, seen it last year, lads. You know, they went toe-to-toe with Limerick in Turles. They went toe-to-toe with Cork down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. They beat Clare up in Ennis. They'll beat someone. And if they beat someone, I think they'll put themselves in a position, maybe going to the last game or two, where they're in a position where they might have to win another game to try and secure that top 3 finish. So, yeah, I wouldn't be ruling out just yet, Vernie. Absolutely not.
Perfect. I'm presuming your top three, Mull, is Limerick, Clare, and Cork at the minute. But we'll move on because we're caught for time. We'll come to that again. Just something I want to mention briefly, lads. The sending offs at the weekend and some of the yellow cards. Eddie, the Owen Cody sending off. Just really quickly because we want to kind of wrap up. I don't know if those sort of flicks are yellow cards. Like, and it's a flick. It's not a pull. If they're yellow cards and they're leading to lads getting sent off, I think we're going down a bad road.
Yeah, no, it is, and I think the one thing you want, like, but I saw worse ones going in that match that went, you know. So, like, I suppose the context, you don't want to see it stopping and starting for that stuff the whole time. And I think even too, Owen Cody probably nearly contributed to himself being sent off because he had a big guilty head in him because he knew it was another yellow potentially. But, like, you know, Declan Hannan didn't go down. In fairness, he's not, you know, Owen Cody took one or two early in that match. I think Sean Finn kind of whipped in across him. And you're kind of going, look, unless they're drawn down across that, that's a free, that's different. But, like, if you're going to say, well, that looks like healthy competition for the ball, you know, there's no real intent. They're flicking in there. They're trying to get at the ball. I think if you're reaching or there's you know, there's a scale of it. And yeah, you can say about Laird Law, but geez, like, yellow cards dished out for that. Like, and it's just, it's going to kill it because, geez, in the cut and thrust there, you take, go back to the Munster final start 2 years ago where the ball didn't stop moving for 3 or 4 minutes and there was lads being nailed all roads. Like, do you know, and this is one thing, and we've seen this historically over the years, lads. You get a level of refereeing and a standard of refereeing for the league, and then stuff that's being pinged left, right and centre. And that's really frustrating for players. That's very frustrating when you see it refereed one way during the league and then suddenly it's a different way come championship.
And we've seen it time, and we've seen it time and time again when a referee sends off a player and it's probably a dubious decision. What happens in the immediate aftermath of that for the next 5-10 minutes? He gives the opposition probably 3 or 4 frees that are probably borderline, not frees. But look, lads, just on the league final, I don't know about you, but you probably didn't go down to the game Saturday. There wasn't too many Kilkenny people at the match Saturday. And I thought the atmosphere was a bit dead in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And I just feel, lads, you know, even going forward, a National League semi-final, if it's not going to be a double header, I don't think, you know, there's a place for it in Super Value Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Like, if it's going to be a, you know, a standalone game, you're probably looking at 5,000-10,000 people. Now I thought Paul Leash was grand, and I even said Saturday in the article, why didn't they even look at our own place, Welsh Park? The two stands are on now. It's 13,000. You would have got an enormous amount of Kilkenny people would have went to Welsh Park. And similar, Limerick would have travelled down. It's only an hour and a half down the road. You would have got Wexford people to come in and watch it. You would have got Waterford people. And I actually think even for the league final, you know, Kilkenny, Clare, you're probably looking between 10,000-15,000 max. Why don't they have that game in go back to Paul Leash? And if it's under lights in Paul Leash, play it under in Paul Leash. And it would lend to a cracking atmosphere, lads, you know, having a full house in Paul Leash rather than having 10,000 or 15,000 in maybe Thurles or Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yes, you're after bringing up something else there, Mull. You're saying, like, the Cork Mafia have more muscle than the Waterford County Board.
Essentially, yeah.
I'll put it this way, Jerry. Our officials down here in Waterford need to start banging the drum like they're banging the drum up in Tullamore and Paul Leash now. And as I said, and Nolan Park, we're open for business, Eddie. We're open for business, son.
Eddie, just briefly, your moment of the weekend.
Jesus, I don't know. I suppose you can say it's maybe two, and again, I'm going to go with the forward division. Just that quick exchange between Tip and Clare, like two absolutely brilliant finishes. And to me, they're just it's the stuff you love in a championship match where you get a ding dong affair. Like Jake Morris, like what a finish! His feet, the way he just lost Adam Hogan. And then just like he loves those finishes. And then almost straight off the puck, I would clear respond with David Fitzgerald. So look, two guys, two finishes. I'd be absolutely gushing with pride if I finished both of those goal chances. They were brilliant.
Mull, is Eddie after taking one of yours?
He's stolen on me. Yeah, with the inside forwards union.
You didn't get the memo. Yeah, you didn't get the memo before.
Yeah. I've been consistent on this, lads. There's still a place for going long and going direct into whether you're going long to David Fitzgerald. Like, we used to have Big Dan or Big Seamus. Big Dan would go and grab a ball and he'd break in. And, like, direct into Jake Morris, back of the net. We even seen it with TJ. Just, you know, going up, feeling the ball, putting the ball in the back of the net. But for me, my moment of the weekend was Dave Fitzgerald's goal. That was just a thing of beauty for me. And lads, I mean, geez, if you're Brian Lowe now, you're saying, you're just hoping upon hope that he continues this form. If he continues this form, Clare have a cracking chance going forward into the summer.
Lads, great stuff. John and Eddie, thanks for joining me once again. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another show. And in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks a million for listening, and goodbye.